Well, it's good to have each and every one of you here. I really struggled with whether to have the service or not with the temperatures as cold as they were. I know that there are many churches that have canceled, but that's always a really difficult decision for me. But we're here, you're here, and I pray that God would be honored and that you would be blessed. If you have a Bible this morning, go to the Gospel of John and chapter 8. Gospel of John chapter 8. We'll read from verse 31 down through verse 36. Then said Jesus unto those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Let's pray one more time. Father, we thank you for your word, and I pray that your Holy Spirit would use it today in the lives of your people. Father, I pray for that one that is not free, that is in bondage to their sin. Father, I pray that you would open their eyes today. Help them to see the bondage that they're in. Or Lord, even better, would you free them today? Help me to preach in Jesus' name. Amen. Two Sundays ago, we saw in our text, verse number 30 in particular, where many people claimed to believe on Jesus. In verse 31, he warned them that if they were true believers indeed, that they would continue in his word. Last Sunday, we saw Jesus explain that one of the benefits in continuing in his word is that we would know the truth, and that the truth would make us free. Verse 32. This group who claimed to believe on Jesus piped up and insisted that they had never ever been in bondage to any man, which is absolutely untrue. But they said that they had never been in bondage to any man, and they wondered why Jesus was talking to them about freedom. Today we will look at our Lord's response to them. In verse 34, Jesus answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. You know, we often emphasize the whosoever, we often emphasize the word whosoever in the positive. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I mean, that's the positive, whosoever, that we always emphasize. Whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And do not get me wrong. Do not misunderstand me. That is an awesome promise. Amen. Whosoever, anyone, any person that calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in faith and repentance shall be saved. That is a wonderful whosoever to emphasize. It really is. It's a wonderful promise to emphasize that whosoever, any man that calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in faith and repentance shall be saved. But we see here in our text a whosoever that is negative. We don't often emphasize this whosoever. Any person, anyone who committeth, now you're going to have to listen to me close here, all right? Because we're gonna the gist of the sermon is going to be this thing about committing sin, all right? Whosoever, anyone, any person who committeth sin, is in slavery to it. All right, now this is not the whosoever that we like to emphasize. All right, we love to emphasize whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's a wonderful, wonderful promise that ought to be emphasized. But here's a whosoever that is not often emphasized. And that is that whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, is a slave to sin. Jesus is here clarifying that he's not talking about political bondage. He's not talking about human bondage, because they said we've never been in bondage to any man. He's not talking about slavery, human slavery. But what Jesus is referring to when he says, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free, what he's talking about is he's talking about a bondage of the will, a bondage of the soul. He's talking about spiritual bondage, not human slavery. So the bondage that we're talking about this morning is not human slavery. The bondage we're talking about is the bondage of your will, the bondage of your soul, a spiritual bondage. Now there are two ways to look at this statement, whosoever committeth sin. First, we see by this statement that Jesus was not picking on these Jews. Anyone who committeth sin is the servant and the bondslave to sin. Any man, from every man, every nation, every language, who committeth sin is in spiritual bondage and needs to be set free. So I think when we read this verse, there are two things that we see. Number one is that Jesus was not picking on these Jews. All right, he was not being extra hard on his own people. He said, whosoever. And that's anyone, and that's you and me. If we live a life of committing sin, that means we are in bondage to that sin. And so first of all, we see he wasn't picking on the Jews. But secondly, we see also on the reverse of that, Jesus was not giving his own people a pass either. Just because they were Abraham's seed. I remind you of the word whosoever. That includes those of Abraham's seed. That includes every Jewish man, woman, boy, and girl. That includes every Jew that committeth sin. Every Jew who committeth sin is in spiritual bondage, and he needs or she needs the truth to set them free. And so in verse number 34, Jesus, number one, is not picking on the Jews. He's including every man. And secondly, he's not giving the Jews a pass because he's including every man. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter your color. It doesn't matter your gender. It doesn't matter your nationality. It doesn't matter the language you speak. It doesn't matter your social status. He that committeth sin is a servant, a bond slave, is in bondage to that sin, and needs the truth that can set them free. Now here's what I want to do, and here's what I need to do. This absolutely needs to be done this morning. And that's really why we'll only cover a couple of verses this morning. I want to set the minds, and I want to put the minds and the hearts of the saints of God at ease right here. This needs to be done. Because Christians sin, and they sin daily. And so if I did not stop here and take a major portion of the sermon here, you might go away, dear saint of God, thinking that you are in bondage to sin because you sin. You see, he uses the word committeth. Committeth. And that's key to understanding what Jesus is saying. He's not speaking. Jesus is not speaking to those that have been redeemed. He's not speaking to those that have been forgiven. Even though they still sin daily, he's not speaking to them. He is speaking to those who still embrace their sin. Committeth means prolonged. Prolonged. It means to abide in. These are all definitions for the word committeth from the Greek language. It means abide in. It means agree with. Jesus is talking about people. He's not talking to people that commit sin daily. He's talking about people who abide in sin and agree with sin and live in prolonged sin. The word actually means to continue or to exercise. That would indicate that it's done on purpose, or to hold. Committeth is prolonged sin. It is abiding in sin. It is agreeing with sin. It is continuing in sin and exercising yourself in sin and holding to sin. It refers to the regular practice of sin and the habitual course of a man's life of sin. This is one thing that distinguishes the Christian from the non-Christian. The Christian sins, and sins daily. Now listen to me, folks. The Christian sins and sins daily, but the Christian also repents. The Christian also does good works of the Lord. The Christian also shows forth the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But the unregenerate man, the non-Christian, his life or her life is one unbroken course of sin. I didn't say crimes. I said sins. I'm not saying that every non-Christian is a criminal who continually commits crimes. I'm saying that every non-Christian is a sinner who continually commits sin. Being a sinner by nature means that a man is a sinner in practice. And it means that a man cannot be anything else but a sinner. The Bible says that a corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit. The Bible says that a poisoned fountain, water fountain, cannot bring forth sweet, good water. Because a sinner has no spiritual nature within him. Because the sinner is totally depraved and in complete bondage to sin. Because the sinner does nothing, absolutely nothing, for the glory of God. You do understand this. I covered this several months ago. There are people that would like to think that the sinner is not that bad. I mean, I know Baptist preachers who stand behind their pulpits and say that not every sinner is that bad. Not every sinner is completely corrupt. Not every sinner is completely depraved. Not every sinner is completely ruined. I think I nailed it down with one verse and once for all, and that is that all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. Whatever righteous thing a sinner does is filthy before the sight of God. Every act the sinner does is polluted. Every deed he does is unacceptable before God. A sinner can do nothing right before God. Jesus is talking about people who embrace and exercise and love and continue an unbroken cycle of sin. He that committeth sin is a servant to that sin. The believer sins. There's no debate here, all right? No debate. The believer sins. This is not up for question. And the believer can and does commit some really bad ones. The believer can and does commit some real doozies. Noah got drunk. After God had saved him, God destroyed the entire world and saved Noah and his family. And he gets off the ark and he gets drunk. But that was not his way of life. That was not his way of life. Noah was not a drunken man. He did not live his life as a drunk. Lot got drunk and got into a real mess that I shall not go into right now. And yet that was not Lot's way of life. Lot was a just man. The Bible says twice that Lot was a just man. Lot did not live his life as a drunk. David committed adultery and murder. We often say that he committed all the he broke all the commandments in one fell swoop. And yet that was not his way of life. David did not live his life as a whoremonger. David did not live his life as a murderer. Peter denied knowing the Lord Jesus Christ with curses and swears. And yet that was a one-time sin. The believer does sin and the believer does some whoppers. But that is not the believer's way of life. The believer can fall and can fall bad and can fall hard. And yet that is not the believer's way of life. But that is the unbeliever's way of life. They have an unbroken life of sin. The believer many times sins through ignorance. And when they find out they've been sinning in ignorance, they do their best to change that. The believer sins through weakness of their flesh. And they struggle. They struggle and fight the battle of the flesh. The believer sins through the temptations of the devil. A true believer sins many times and does so with hesitancy. A true believer sins and is immediately smitten in his heart and mind. A true believer sins and regrets it. A true believer hates that he sins. A true believer hates that she sins. The true believer sins with the Spirit fighting them. Yes, indeed, the Christian does commit sin. Christians sin in thought, they sin in word, and they sin in deed. But they do not continue in it. They do not live in it. They do not love it. When a true believer sins, they hate it. They despise themselves. They struggle. They fight it. They weep before God. They confess. They repent. That's not the life of an unsaved man. An unsaved man or an unsaved woman sins and doesn't think twice. And looks forward to sinning again. And looks forward to committing sin again. and schedules it and schedules it and has no remorse, has no regret. The Christian, on the other hand, falls into it, and by the grace of God, they rise up out of it. Proverbs 24:16, for a just man, a man who is justified, falleth seven times and riseth up again. And for some of us, that could be seven times a day. Or seven times a week, but we rise up again. But the wicked shall fall into mischief. And there's nothing about the wicked rising again. You see, the sinner has no inclination to rise up once he falls. The unconverted has a mind bent toward sin, has a bias bent toward sin. The unbeliever gives themselves to work wickedness. They make sin their trade. They make sin their business. They make sometimes sin even their employment. Many wicked actually make money off from sin. They take pleasure in it. They take delight in it. They look forward to the next time. They are the servants of sin. They are the servants of corruption. They are under the oppressive government of sin. They are under the oppressive government of Satan. And they are under the bondage of their own flesh. Believer's not that way. Believer sins and grieves and says, with God's help, I'll never do this again. An unbeliever sins and says, man, that was great. When are we doing this again? Unbeliever doesn't do that. God, help me to never do this again. God, help me to never say this again. Looking back at our text, John 8:34. Jesus answering them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. How different are God's thoughts from our thoughts? The natural man, the unsaved man, the man of this world. Thinks that if he becomes a Christian, that he has to throw away all of his freedom. The unsaved man, the natural man, the sinner man believes that if he becomes a Christian, he has to throw away everything good and everything fun, and that there'll be no liberty, there'll be no freedom, it'll all be bondage. The natural man, the sinner, thinks that to become a Christian means he would be bound by restrictions and fettered by rules. And the natural man thinks that if he becomes a Christian, that he would lose his freedom and he would become in bondage. The very opposite is true, my friend. The very opposite is true. It is not the one who is in Christ who is in bondage. It is the one who is out and away from Christ that is in the bond of iniquity. You can't help to do what you do. You are in bondage to sin. You are in bondage to Satan. You are in bondage to your own flesh and your own desires. I said it last week. You think you are in control, and you think that you are doing what you want to do. And you think you are the master of your life, the master of your soul, but the truth is, you are a mere servant that does what Satan wants you to do. You do what your flesh demands of you to do. And you do what sin calls upon you to do. And you think you're free. And you think you're free. Why don't you go ahead and prove me wrong. Why don't you, if you're here this morning, a natural man, a sinner, one who is not a believer and follower of Jesus Christ, why don't you just go ahead and decide that you're going to clean up your act all on your own? And you're going to find out that you are in bondage, my friend. The sinner is being dragged down by the very force of his sinful nature. The sinner is being forced down by the very trend of his own human sinful nature. The freedom that he thinks he has to exercise evil desires, the freedom that he thinks that he has to exercise evil lust, is only proof that he is not free, but he is a bond slave. The love of self, the love of the world, the love of money, the love of pleasure, these are nothing more than tyrants that rule over you. The love of self, your selfish love, the love of this world, and the fads and the trends of this world, the love of money, the love of pleasure, these things are nothing more than tyrants that rule you. And when the sinner realizes that he or she is in bondage to sin, when they realize that they are in bondage to Satan, when they realize that they are in bondage to their own selfish and fleshly demands, my friends, that is the first step toward liberty, and that is the first step toward freedom. When you realize that you are in bondage to your sin. When you realize you can't stop it. In conclusion, let's look at John 8:35-36. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Now Jesus explains the one big difference between the servant of sin and the Son of God. First of all, the servant is not a son. You are either a servant to sin and Satan and your own selfish flesh, or you are a son of God. The servant is never permanent. It's what he says here. The servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son, referring to Jesus Christ, of course, abideth forever. The servant is not permanent in the family. The servant is not permanent in the house. The servant can be released at any time and sent away at any time. The servant is not heir. The servant is not an heir. The servant does not have family privilege. The servant does not have liberty. The servant can be turned out. The servant's place in the house is temporary. You see, this crowd standing here before Jesus Christ is claiming to be Abraham's seed. And Jesus is reminding them the difference between Ishmael and Isaac. Isaac was a true son. Ishmael was a slave of a bondwoman, the son of a bondwoman. Isaac was a true son, while Ishmael was a bond slave, the son of a bondwoman. And he was turned out in favor of the true son. The message is clear. The message that Jesus is giving here is clear. Sinner, one who has not trusted in Jesus Christ, who has not followed Jesus Christ, one who is not a true believer, continuing in the truth. Sinner, you are a bond slave. The sinner is a servant. Jesus Christ is a son. And the only way, listen, I'm concluding right here, the only way that you can go from a slave of Satan, a slave of sin, a slave of your own fleshly desires, the only way that you can go from a slave to the Son of God, or the daughter of God, is if Jesus makes you free from your bondage and adopts you into his family as one of his sons and daughters. In this room this morning, there are those who are not true followers of Jesus Christ. You are, whether you want to admit it or not, you are a slave to your own selfish fleshly desires. You are a slave to sin, and you are a slave to Satan. The only way that you can become a son or a daughter of God is if Jesus Christ, the Son of God, sets you free and adopts you into his family. If you are not set free and adopted into the family of God, your place with the people of God, your place in the house of God is temporal. You hear me? This is serious. It doesn't matter how often you attend church. It doesn't matter if you're friends with Christians. If you are a bond slave to sin, your place here in this house of God, or any house of God, and your place among the people of God, the family of God, is temporal. And one day you will be cast out because you are a servant and not a son. I ask you this question this morning. Is God calling you into his family? Is God calling you into his family? Is he calling you to set you free from the bondage of your sin? You should come today to the Lord Jesus Christ, the only one that can set you free from your bondage, and the only one that can make you a permanent son or daughter of God. You can be like Isaac, a true son and a true heir. Or you can be like Ishmael, a bondservant that is cast out. What will it be? There are two things that I want you to walk away with this morning. One is that if you are not a Christian, I want you to understand that you are, my friend, in bondage to sin. You are in bondage to yourself, your fleshly lust and desires. You are in bondage to Satan. But I want you to know, friend, that Jesus Christ can set you free. And he wants to set you free. And whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be made free. And I want the Christian to understand, you do sin. All right, let's just pull back the cover and be real honest here, all right? Let's not be fake. Let's try not to act like we're holier than thou. Let's try not to act like we're perfect little Christians. We sin. The difference between us and the unbeliever is that it's broken in our lives. It's not continual. It happens now and again. We hate it. We despise it. We repent of it. We ask God to help us not to do it again. We are immediately smitten because of it. But if you're here and you think you're a Christian and you live a straight, unbroken line of sin with no regret, then, my friend, you are not a Christian. You're not a Christian. Let's pray. Father, speak to our hearts. Open our eyes. Reveal to us the truth and set us free. Bless your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
May God bless His church.